This morning's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves.
It's a wonderful time to be here. It's great, together with God's people, to be able to praise him and encourage one another. You think about your imagination, what it does, how it works, what it can do for us, what it can do to us. It's amazing. It can cause us to see things that really aren't there. It may make us think anyway. We hear things when there's silence. We can dream up things that make no sense. That's the way our imagination will work. It's the way that it can cause us to maybe get twisted in our imagination. We can also imagine how certain things might be, how they might not be. Mercy Me recorded a song several years ago. It was called "I Can Only Imagine." The gist of the song was about what it would be like in the presence of God. Have you ever stopped to imagine that? What's it going to be like in the presence of God? What's it going to be like when we get there? I mean, we can think of a lot of things. We can imagine a lot how it's going to be. But can we truly understand what it is? Can we truly understand what it is really going to be like? I can only imagine. Well, today, I want you to let your imagination wander as we look at the crucifixion of Christ. First of all, I want you to imagine the pain. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine that, I think, because we've never experienced what Jesus went through. But I believe that Jesus understood the pain he was going to go through, both physically and mentally. I think he completely understood what was to come, what was to be, and what this was going to entail. If we look at Luke 22 and verse 42, it says, "Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew his mission from the beginning. He knew why he came to earth. And he knew that he was going to return to his Father in heaven. Yet the dread of knowing the pain that stood between him and returning home, it wreaked havoc on his mind. It prompted him to ask God for another way. I mean, think about that. He knew, "I will go back to that glorious place, that wonderful, wonderful place that I came from. But there's going to be a time span that is going to be so dreadful that if there's any other way this can be done, Father, I ask you to do it. But if you notice the next verse in Luke 22:43, says God sent an angel to strengthen him. You know, we read that, we think, get a warm, fuzzy feeling, maybe. But you ever stop to think what that really says? God sent an angel to strengthen him. Do we ever imagine Jesus feeling weakness? It's hard to imagine. It's hard. But God sent an angel to strengthen him. Now, I don't believe that any of us can imagine the pain that Jesus suffered through this ordeal. I mean, right now, don't even think about the mental anguish. Don't even think about his care and concern for people, the reason he is going through this, but just the physical pain. In Luke 22:63, it says, now the men who were beating him, holding Jesus in custody, were mocking him as they beat him. Think about that. These men, just for entertainment, were mocking him and beating him with whips, with sticks, causing great pain. I want you to imagine being beaten with these rods and these whips, having the flesh just ripped from your bones. Then they decide they're going to mock you as a king and put this purple robe on you. Mind you, your back is raw and your arms and bleeding. And they put this purple robe on you to mock you. And then when it's time to send you back, who knows how long, they rip that off, causing great pain. And put your own clothes back on you. And then they press this crown of thorns into your head as you're still being mocked and pushed around. Then they take you and place the weight of this huge cross on your body, on your back, still raw and still painful from the beatings. So you can carry this cross to the place of your death. Once you're there, you're laid on the cross. Your hands are spread out and held down as they drive the nails through your flesh. And then it's repeated for your feet. Then the cross is lifted up. And it's dropped into a hole 3 to 6 feet deep. And it hits the bottom with a thud. Your flesh and your tendons rip at the impact. The pain is intense. Then as you hang on the cross, with that rough wood on your back, as you try to lift yourself to breathe, think about that. Think about Jesus going through all of that. And now think about this. That was the easy part. That was the easy part. Jesus felt what we had never known. Complete and total separation from God. I mean, there may have been a time in our life that we didn't walk with God. There may be been a time in our life where we didn't recognize God and maybe didn't even believe in God. But we have never been outside the presence of God. He's always been with us. Jesus felt that. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, it says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was at this moment that Jesus bore the sin of the entire world and was completely separated from God. We can't imagine how that feels. We can't imagine what that's like. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I can only begin to imagine the pain, both physical and mental. But there is no way I can do it justice in my imagination. I've never been there. I've never experienced what he went through. Secondly, I want you to imagine his thoughts. What was he thinking? What was going through his mind? I mean, this was a terrible thing to happen to anybody. But here's the Son of God, a man without sin, a man who loved people unconditionally, a man who served, a man full of compassion. What was going through his mind? What did Jesus think as he hung there on the cross? And he watched the soldiers gamble for his clothes. In Mark 15, 24, "And as they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them, and decided what each should take." I mean, here he is hanging there in great pain for something he was not guilty of, watching them gamble for his only possessions, for all that he had. I mean, how would you feel? What would you think if that were you? I mean, I imagine I'd be thinking something like, "Don't these people have any hearts? Don't they have any compassion? Don't they care?" But what did Jesus think? I mean, what did he think as they went by and they cast insults at him? In Mark 15, 29, it tells us, "And those who passed by derided him." Isn't it bad enough? You're hanging on a cross for sins you didn't commit. You're struggling to breathe. You're in great physical pain. And now people are insulting you and mocking you? How bad can it get? How bad can the human race be that they do this? And even the religious leaders were involved. Mark 15, 31, "Also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, 'He saved others, but he cannot save himself.'" I mean, they certainly didn't want to do this in the public eye and get a bad reputation, but they didn't have any problem mocking them among themselves, even though they had no problem cutting him down in the public eye. I mean, think about it. And what about the two that were with him? Those that were crucified with him also reviled him. I mean, they were there being crucified as well, and they felt like they were justified in mocking Jesus. And they were being crucified for things that they did. mean, think about this. All this going on. Can you begin to imagine how you would feel? Would you want to come down from the cross to prove them all wrong? To prove that you were the Son of God? To prove that all their mocking was in vain? Would you want to call 10,000 angels to rescue you? Would you wonder why you were willingly giving your life for these people? Imagine the love. Imagine the love. I believe that it's very difficult for most people to comprehend the love of Jesus, especially during the crucifixion. I mean, we talk about in Bible class, we talk about in sermons, we even talk about in conversation, unconditional love. Speaking it is one thing. Comprehending it is a little bit more difficult. Practicing it is a whole different ballgame. I mean, we, for the most part, are conditioned from the time that we are young to love those who love us. Unconditional love means I love you regardless. No conditions. Nothing can stop me from loving you. That's a hard concept to put into practice. Remember, Mark said that both criminals, as they're crucified with Jesus, hurled insults at him. Yet we know that one of them must eventually came to his senses. He must begin to realize what was going on. Maybe it was the way Jesus handled himself on the cross, because he didn't smart back to them, because he didn't do what he could do, but he impressed him somehow. Because if we look at what Luke says in chapter 23 and verse 42, and he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I mean, when you read that and know that he was casting insults at Jesus, don't you want to think, man, that guy's got guts. How could you even do that? How could you? But that's that unconditional love. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus didn't say, "You don't deserve it." He said, "You will be with me in paradise today." Not after we do a check on you, not after you go through a probationary period. You will be with me today in paradise. What amazing love is that? It's hard to imagine. Jesus also showed love for his mother. I mean, remember what's going on here. It's hard to forget. Jesus is being crucified. People are mocking him. And John, in John 19 and verses 26 and 27, says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." See, remember, Jesus was the oldest child. His responsibility in the absence of his father was to take care of the family. And part of that was taking care of his mother. So here he is, completing his mission from God, dying on the cross, but still showing the love for his mother. Being sure she's cared for and taken care of. not thinking about himself and what's going through his veins and his mind, but having compassion on his mother. I mean, imagine going through all this and still loving others enough to provide for their needs. You see, through all this, Jesus shows that his love would not fail. And that's a promise that we need to remember. His love does not fail. Luke 23 and verse 34, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's just hard to comprehend. Being treated in such a manner, being abused, being mocked, being put on the cross. Jesus says, forgive them. Forgive them. A love that never fails. It's difficult to imagine, but this is the ultimate example of unconditional love. Giving your life for those who show you no respect or show that they have not a care for you in the world, but loving them till the very end. I hope that you have let your imagination take you back to the crucifixion today. I hope you heard the voices of the crowd. I hope you could picture the mob mentality of the people. I hope that you could hear the cracks of the whip, the thuds of the rod against the body of Jesus. The sound of the spikes being driven into his hands and his feet. And I hope you imagined the insults that were being hurled at him. And I hope in some way that you were able to feel his pain. Because after all, it was for us. That you in some way could feel what he went through. But most of all, I hope that you could look at him and imagine the love in his eyes. The love that was there that kept him on that cross. Because there are a lot of things about Jesus that we can only imagine and how it will be when we enter his eternal presence. Even though we cannot fully comprehend his love, we cannot fully comprehend the thought process that kept him on the cross, other than the fact his goal was to always do what God asked him to do. And he loved unconditionally. And we don't have to imagine that, because we do experience it every day. We do. We fall short every day, and he continues to forgive us. His blood continues to flow for us. When you think about all that Jesus has done, and you think about the crucifixion, you think about his reaction to the people, and you think about the fact that he continues each and every day to love us, to care for us, and to forgive us, that makes his love a little bit more imaginable in our minds. Friends, Christ does love you, and he wants you to come to him every day. He wants you to remember what he's done for you. And he's calling for you. If you're here today and you've never been immersed for remission of sins, you have the opportunity to be baptized and come up out of the waters of creation, a brand new creation, free of sin, experiencing that love. Christian, maybe you got something you're struggling with. You can take it to God. He's going to listen to your prayer. Ask him for strength. Ask him for power. Ask him to let you experience and feel that unconditional love. If there's anything you're struggling with, you might need the church to pray for you for, you can do that as well. As you can come forward as we stand and as we sing.